This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Garth Weir, and some say I'm too old to stand for council, but with age comes wisdom. I've served in our district for decades, from leading South Taranaki Kindergarten Association and the High School Board to 30 years with Special Olympics, owning a successful dealership for 50 years and serving as a JP and a proud veteran. I believe council should focus on the essentials, water, roads, wastewater parks, not competing with local businesses. We need transparency, strong leadership and investment that grows all of South Taranaki, not just Hawera. Let's grow South Taranaki together.
Authorised by G. Weir, hg@weir.nz.
A kia ora, nā mihi, nā mihi ki a koutou katoa. Welcome to some abundant awesomeness on this beautiful, fabulous and delightful Friday afternoon. Whānau, I hope that you are keeping in good health and that there is support in place for whatever you may be facing on this Friday, or well, just that you're able to soak up a bit of the sunshine, or if you're listening to this retrospectively, that there is some sunshine in your day. Ko Jamie Allen tōku ingoa. I'm privileged to be here with you on this Friday afternoon with an extremely, extremely special studio guest today, who I cannot wait to introduce you to. Oh, it's going to be such an afternoon of kōrero and enjoyment. I really can't wait to get stuck into that. How are you doing? I hope that all is as good as it can be right now, and that if support is something that is just somewhere in the mix of being needed right now, that those resources are there for you. Part of what I guess representing the community is making sure that where there are gaps, those gaps are plugged. So if there's a gap going on for you at the moment, hey, we'll speak a little bit about some resources that can be brought into play there, especially with today's studio guest. But hey, let's kick off with some music now, and oh, this is such a banger.
But it always leads me to you. When I see the glow of the day's first light, you're my first thought until my last night. But I know you're alone, I know that you're fine. But tonight, oh tonight, baby, you are mine. I know you're alone, I know that you're fine. But tonight, oh tonight, baby, you are mine, in my mind. Tonight, oh tonight, oh baby, fine. But tonight, oh tonight, oh baby, you are mine. Oh, in my mind. Oh, you're in my mind. Darling, in my mind.
And I just got totally distracted and caught up in conversation with my guest because she is so very seriously awesome there. So I'm coming back to my responsibilities now, and those are to introduce an Afi, my studio guest today. And oh boy, is she a legend. So I'm really thrilled to be welcoming today to Access Radio and to this abundant awesomeness, our Tracy Zender. Tracy, namihi ki a koe, no mai hara. My welcome. It is so cool to see you. Welcome.
Kia ora, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no, thank you. Thank you for giving the time to this kaupapa and to being who you are. And gosh, so much I want to talk about over this hour. And our abundant awesomeness is primarily around trying to counterbalance, I would say, a bit of maybe negativity that can be in mainstream media currently, and certainly in social media. And I've been feeling the impact of that, and not liking that very much. And wanting to see that change a bit, and thinking, well, let's try and counterbalance that with kōrero, which is good, refreshing, and nourishing. And that also shares some resources and some well-being kaupapa. So that's what we're about today, Tracy. And and you fit that bill very, very, very well, because that's who you are, and it's also what you do. So mihi ana ki a koe. Tell us a little bit about you, and what's your background, ko waikoe, where's your roots, and are you a Taranaki person?
Yes, yep, grew up in Taranaki, born in Hawera, mostly New Plymouth here, did high school. After that, went off to the army as a medic for 5 years.
No way. Okay, right. Yep. I'm going to have to stop you there. And you just casually drop that in.
Yeah. Well, I've always wanted to be in health, basically. So for me, being a medic, joining the army was an easy way to get into that. So I was there for 5 years, where I got my grounding as a...
That would be quite a grounding.
As a medic, you have to be a jack-of-all-trades, basically. We diagnose and treat under standing orders. We do paramedicine, and we also do nursey-type skills as well. So occupational health with hearing checks and vision and all of that. So, yeah, it was a really good way to start my young adult life, I suppose.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love that. Yeah, went to Timor for a while as the medic, and also the Solomons. Yeah. And then after that,
I'm not done with that era yet. I want to hear a little bit more about it. Tell me about, the Timor piece. What was that experience like?
I suppose I was lucky to, I was privileged enough to be in at a time when we were mostly peacekeeping. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing too dangerous.
Culturally, what was that experience like?
Well, the first was the Solomons. So that was a real life-changing experience for me as a 20-year-old who also had a huge responsibility of being the solo medic for the New Zealand contingent. So, it was, you know, as soon as we got there, it was massive culture shock. You know, the airport was like a shack, and And we drove along dirt roads to get to where we were staying. And, you know, the poverty, basically. Like, there's no Western privileges over there. And so that really hit home for me, I suppose. Made me realise how lucky we were back here.
Man.
To just be able to turn your tap and get fresh water or... yeah, or even just to have the health privileges we have here.
Absolutely.
Like all of it. Yes. Sometimes I think we forget how lucky we really actually are.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Wow. How long were you based in the Solomons?
Oh, that was a 5-month tour.
Quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you'd have, I could see that would be life-changing.
Mm. When I got home from the Solomons, I actually got culture shock coming back because I just couldn't believe how privileged we were in New Zealand. And to have windows in our buildings, you know, and footpaths and things like that. It sort of put things into perspective too because, you know, at that time I was still quite close with a lot of high school people and things. Mm. And the things they were talking about didn't resonate with me anymore. Mm.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I felt a little bit, like, lost in that, actually.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was good to realise there was a contrast there and, yeah, and sort of took me on my next direction, so.
Aye. Just sticking, just, I still, there's so much there, Tracy, to just share a little bit more around that Solomon Island concept and what your working and domestic life was like when you were there.
Well, I sort of was mostly based at the base where the New Zealand and Australian police were. So our role was to support them, basically, and we had outposts where different sections would be stationed around the coast to provide that presence, patrols and sort of thing. But things changed quite dramatically when there was a situation that went down on the other side of the island and we ended up having to fly, well, an Australian policeman got injured by a local, and so they decided that straight away they would send me over, even though he had been evac'd, but they decided to send me over to support the other police that were there. You can't get there by road. You have to either helo there through over the mountains or take a boat ride around the whole of the perimeter of the Solomons. So... yeah, we flew there, and that was an experience up against the mountains. And the helicopter pilot, he was an old retired guy who was doing it for fun. So we just went right up next to the hills. But I love that. So I was just in my element, thinking, where the heck are we going? How exciting!
Wild.
So when we got there, there's an airfield, a little school, and basically that's it. Just dense jungle. All huts, you know, they lived in little huts, and easiest way to get around was through along the coast because you couldn't travel through the jungle. And, you know, just all the little kids, they just had never seen a white person before, and they were fascinated with my hair because it was straight. It was just a beautiful experience, being over there and being, you know, even witnessing as a health professional, even though I was so young and really hadn't had a lot of experience, just like seeing some of the states of people's well-being, you know, I saw a baby who had an enlarged tumour on the side of its head. You know, just lots of, like, no service for disabilities or anything like that. So people who did, you know, they were on their own, basically. And with no way to get to a hospital. And also one interesting thing is that they have no sexual health over there. So a lot of women were actually dying of cervical cancer, basically, and because there's no preventative medicine over there. So something like, you know, our cervical screening we have here in New Zealand is such a privilege. Like, it's right there. Make sure, you know, especially with the listeners, make sure you get your wahine to be checked, because we're so lucky to have those services here. Vaccinations, all of that.
Aye. Yeah, there's quite something there where we have all those provisions and those preventative measures and those health provisions, and then we opt to disengage with them. Hey, humans are complicated things.
We are.
And just chatting to Tracy Zender this afternoon about her, that experience of what it was to serve in the forces, and to spend that time super young. The Solomons, would you go back there? Do you think
I would love to go back.
What was the tourist kind of vibe like?
There was a few little tiny, what they would call resorts, so like a couple of little spots along the beach where you can tell that they might host the occasional guest. But I'm sure it's quite different. It's been about 20 years since I was there, so I just saw actually the other day that there's cruises going to the Solomons, so I thought, well, that's really cool. That's quite heartwarming to know that they have tourists coming to visit, because it is a beautiful place, and I think how nice to share that culture. Mm.
True.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel real uplifted just to hear you speak about it, Tracy, and that's reset a couple of compasses for me this afternoon, so... Kati Pai, thank you for that kōrero. And then from there?
Yeah, so from there I was under the old training system of being a medic. So back then it was sort of in-house training, and they were starting to transition to NZQA sort of qualifications. And it was going to take me 8 years basically to meet that. So I decided, now's a good time to leave. So I came back home here to Taranaki and studied nursing through WIT. So that was cool. And some of it was going back over what I already knew. But I thought I didn't want to miss out on any of the training and potentially, have a gap there. So I opted to take on the whole thing and...
Fair
learn how to be a registered nurse.
which is again not the easiest training ground, right?
Once you start learning, you realize how much you don't know. I just loved the learning process basically, and
which was over how long?
Three years.
And placement work during that?
Started with the rest homes, and then moved on to a bit of mental health, the stroke ward, the rehabilitation ward. That was a really cool experience, I think I'd never been a part of before. But I just wanted to be an ED. That's where I wanted to be.
With that piece of background as well, what makes a person want to work in ED?
Well, I sort of am a always aiming to be a high achiever, and I thought, you have to be really onto it to be an ED.
Of course.
You need to be a jack of all trades. You need to think on your feet, work under pressure, and I thought, that's where I want to be. And I kind of thought, that would be the top goal to aim for. So had a couple of placements there and managed to get my NetP position there, which is something that new graduates can apply for. So I did a year in ED.
And so you were you one of the... Was it triage work mainly that you were doing there?
Well, when you're a new grad, you're basically, in the not as acute area, sort of managing the people that are about to go to the ward and that sort of thing. But, it certainly was a big, steep learning curve being dropped in. I think the first day, this was when the ratios weren't, they have gotten better, but it was really not great then. I had... I think 8 people to myself for first shift. And
far out.
They all were very, they were all very sick, but they were stable. And, all those 8 people came with whānau,
yeah, of course,
that also were desperately wanting something from me. And
absolutely.
So, yeah, and I remember that first day I was in tears with the nursing, the head nurse, and I said, I think it was Sharon at the time, and she, I said to her, I'm not coping. And she said, Tracy, is anyone dying? I said, no. She said, is anyone bleeding out? I said, no. She said, then you're okay. You just do what you can and you keep going. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that was, we all, I think that's the natural thing when you first start doing something, right? You're in the deep end and you're like, I'm going to have to swim.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, it all feels so huge. But actually, having said that, 8 patients to yourself, to be within your care is, that's nothing to be sniffed at. I'm glad that none of them were dying or bleeding out at that time.
Yeah, I really, really liked the ability that I found I had to take someone who was acutely distressed from whatever reason they were there for and sort of bring them down a level.
Yeah.
That really, I really enjoyed that, and I felt like I could do that well. Whether it be, someone was just in acute pain, you get them, you use proper language with them, you reassure, you validate.
And yeah,
like, even as simple as turning the light off can really help someone to relax. If they were in their own space.
There's so much to be said for reassurance. Say, just someone who is there to say, it's okay.
Mm.
We've got this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
Mm.
We're going to be okay. And I know what I'm doing. Yeah. And you're in safe hands.
Yeah.
And, everything's okay.
Mm.
And honestly, the body, mind, why do I just go?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay, awesome. Yeah. And especially whānau, where you're in that place of absolute vulnerability around your loved one. And what you most need is just that person who can bring that presence into the middle of the world falling apart, because nobody wants to be there at ED. No one wants to be with their whānau member going, oh no.
And as a student leading up to that, I had more time to be able to spend a bit, doing that reassurance. So it was important. A stark contrast suddenly, you're the nurse now, so you're it. Offer as much as you can, but then keep going, because you can't just slow down. You have to stay on track. Yeah. So big ups to, the staff up there, because they really do such 100%. A fantastic job. Yep. And also they stay human, and something that, is, some would say, a bit of a process line. There's always people coming in, it never stops. But, to keep that human element is, to their credit.
Wow. You picked some music for today, which was really peachy. We've just heard Mine in My Mind, which, do you want to speak into that? And then we're going to listen to I Believe. So what made you pick these couple of tracks?
So the Mitch and his guitar, Mine in My Mind, he's just absolutely incredible. It's a real privilege to have someone with that talent living in Taranaki.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't have to go far to be able to see him play, Yeah, but also in another part of my life, I'm also a wedding celebrant. So Mitch has often been at a lot of the weddings that I have facilitated, and it's just such a, as we know, we are mind, body, soul, and his music really moves people, I think. So that's why I chose that one. And then the Sam Garrett one, I believe, that's really been inspiring my mahi lately.
Oh, true. Maybe we'll segue into that after hearing it.
Let's do it.
Case. Let's enjoy I Believe. And wow, Tracy, thank you. I'm so glad that you're here today.
I'm a lover. I was born this way. I'm a warrior and I will make a change. Hope you're ready for what I'm about to say. You are love, and you are brave. So come with me, take a jump into this ocean. Set your heart free, throw the change into motion. We can live in peace. We can say the war is over, and now you will come to see that we will make a difference. I believe we will make a difference. I'm a Baba, I sing to Mahadev. I come to bring the truth to those who cannot see. Don't be led astray into unrighteous ways. Go back in, he said, inside your holy gate. And come with me, take a jump into this ocean and now set your heart free. Throw the change into motion, yeah. We can live in peace. We can say the war is over, and now you will come to see. We will make a difference, I believe. We will make a difference, I believe, yeah. We will make a difference. Whoa, yeah. We're going down, down, down. Take a jump into this ocean and now set your heart free. Throw the change into motion, yeah. We can live in peace. We will say the war is over, and now you will come to see. We will make a difference, I believe. We will make a difference, I believe. We will make a difference, I believe.
Ah, and how great was that? Oh, beautiful, just absolutely beautiful piece by Sam there. What? Yeah, you were about to dive into why you picked that one, Tracy.
Yeah, well, you know, working in health, you know, we hold a lot of empathetic and emotional responsibility, and I think, you know, it's a real privilege to do this work. However, yeah, we remember why we do it. We remember we are making a difference, and one interaction with someone can really be huge for them, even though we have many in our day.
Mm.
So always try and remember that. Yeah.
Good point. Well made. Yep. You're right. Some of those interactions will actually literally never be forgotten for the rest of that person's life. So as they say, no pressure. And I agree with you there. I think when I have the privilege of someone sharing story or where I'm involved in support, I think of that as tapu space. The sharing of story is an extraordinary privilege, and I reflect on some of the people who I've had the opportunity to be involved with over the years, particularly since involvement with Taranaki Retreat and Waimanako. And just someone who's just popped into my mind actually was a fellow who I provided outreach support for a while, and he commented about some medication that he was on that his health professional 15 years ago had told him that he would be on this medication, which was an SSRI medication for depression for the rest of his life. And how that, just that single statement, had imprinted into his mind so significantly and had actually shaped those whole next 15 years, feeling that somebody with ultimate authority and a crystal ball up their sleeve had said, yep, no matter what, you're going to still be on these tablets. And and the context to that conversation was that he was struggling with that medication at the time and some of the impacts of it. And just that snippet of conversation shaped the subsequent 15 years. So there's, yeah, we do need to tread quite carefully there, right?
And like you say, we are in a position of authority, I suppose. You could look at it like that, where Fiorda coming to us, or patients, you know, people are asking for help and then we have the help. So I think that we need to have a really hard look at every sort of interaction, every word, every language that we speak to people, to make sure that it's what we call mana enhancing. And client-centered, you know, we never want to make people feel limited. And what you said with, you'll be on that for the rest of your life, that's creating a limiting belief for that person. And and you know, there are times where medication is necessary for forever. But however, let's not box someone off and limit their potential either.
Aye. So fast forwarding to here and now, you're still working in health.
Yes.
And you are operating in, I think, one of the coolest roles going right now in that space of, anyway, I won't preempt you because this is your bag. Tell us about your current role, Tracy.
So I am in a role called the Health Improvement Practitioner, and some people call that the HIP, which is a really new role in our health system. It's been around about 5 years now. Basically, it got introduced because the government at the time thought we have a problem with mental health, but also every kind of health. How do we get the best bang for buck, basically? So they decided to do some research. They put some money into that. They found that there's this, what we're doing now is actually in America. And so they brought over some trainers and taught us how to do this health improvement practitioner role, which is basically behavioral health therapy and brief interventions. So they decided that rather than send this person away from the GP clinic to somewhere else where they're not comfortable or that it's not familiar, they decided, let's put these people in the GPs, in the GP clinics. Let's allow the GP to be able to walk that person down the corridor to see someone who's friendly, most likely available at some point during the day, or if not, the next day, to help improve their well-being. And the great thing is, it's not just mental health we see. We see any area of health and well-being, because it basically looks at what's going on, what are you doing, and what could we be doing, and how to get us turning our life towards a place that is more meaningful.
Awesome. Yeah.
The other great thing is that it's free. So there's no cost to the person for seeing us. Some people see us once, some people see us heaps of times, and we're always free, which is such an asset for our community.
Yeah, just taking a moment to celebrate that that concept, hey?
Yeah.
How completely cool. And Tracy, what a perfect match for that role. I remember very clearly when this concept was just beginning to be on the horizon and socialized, and it just almost felt too good to be true that this would even happen. And now look at you. So how long have you been in this role?
I've just ticked over 2 years now, which is really neat. It is a tricky sort of role to learn, because it's unlike anything most of us have ever done before. It's a multidisciplinary space, so I'm a registered nurse, but we have registered social workers, occupational therapists, psychologists and counsellors also doing the role. So
brilliant.
So, and social workers, did I say? So it's something that can be taught based on your background knowledge in health. Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been in the Waitara Health Centre for a year now, and prior to that I was in the Inglewood Health Centre there.
Oh, so, Tracy.
Yeah.
Oh. And well, first of all, congratulations on a role that I can see suits you beautifully, and I can just imagine what you must bring to that mahi with the with the work that you do day by day and week by week. How completely exciting. Do you feel that people know sufficiently about the existence of our hips and what you're there for and what you do?
No, I don't think enough people know about it. However, once someone's experienced the process, word does spread to the people they know, because they think, oh, actually, now that we've gone through this, I can see you would be helpful for my sister-in-law or my auntie or my neighbour, you know? So I think slowly momentum's building. It's not something that's advertised a lot. I think Tui Ora, who have taken over Waitara Health Centre, they're doing a pretty good job of advertising that and sharing things through their communications team. So, yeah, that's been good for our clients, yeah.
That's cool. And, I mean, numerous times I'll be exploring what somebody has in their situation in terms of supports, and then a little bit later down the track we'll catch up again when we've talked about a referral or exploring the possibility of support through health improvement practitioners, and it will have just been a game changer. And people will speak so warmly of what they've encountered in this role, which, yeah, I think that separation from all the baggage which goes with a GP consultation, not least the cost, but also the inevitable restrictions that come with that in terms of the actual time that you might get to talk through what's happening in your life and in your health. And so many times I've just heard people say, oh yeah, no, I've been seeing this person, oh, what are they called, and I'll say,
well,
a hip, yep, that's it, and oh, she's brilliant, and then they'll talk about someone, because there's a lot in there that's I think that's around providing some good tools, frameworks.
With our role, we don't have the answers, but we help facilitate a person finding the answers for themselves. And it's basically enabling reflection, but also all the benefits of being heard and understood.
Yeah.
You know, that sometimes people don't have that person.
I don't think we can underestimate the value of that. And, yep, I'm a very strong believer that those answers are in us, but we often need someone to help fish them out, draw them out, facilitate them out, even just hearing ourselves talk through what's going on with our health can be a bit of a revelation. And if someone's there who has some understanding and can facilitate that, and then be like, well, look, here's some suggestions that it's just an advisory input, but this is what I'm hearing from you is this. And I've heard so many people speak so warmly of that experience and what a game changer it can be.
Yeah, well, we see a lot of people, especially because we see them for half an hour, but, you know, we can see potentially 10 plus people a day, which is a lot, right? I mean, you wouldn't be doing that right at the start of being a new hip, but if you times that over a few weeks, months, then we're really having quite an impact on people too, which is very exciting for me as someone who's quite I think we need to be more innovative and more creative within our health system.
Totally agree.
Why do things the way it's always been done?
Yeah.
Let's look for ways that it can be done better. That's also inspired some of the other little projects that we've been up to out in Waitara. So,
shall we have a spot of music and then talk about that?
Cool.
Brilliant. Okay, so we are going back a bit in history now with some Bellamy Brothers. Tell me about this one.
Oh, so this is a song. When I hear it, takes me back to being little, and just, you know, dance parties in the house, you know, at family events, and they've got the music going, and it just makes me happy, this song.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, enjoy, team.
Totally, bring it on. Season.
that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling grab you deep inside and send you reeling where your love can hide, and then go stealing through the moonlit nights with your lover. Just let your love flow. It's loving embrace, just feel the thunder. As it warms your face, you can't hold back. Just let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love grow with the smallest of dreams, and let your love show.
What a feel-good track, Tracy.
I'm just having a boogie here.
Yeah, totally. How could you not? that's certainly done no end of good for the wider there. A little bit of a groove to the Bellamy Brothers. As you said, you don't hear that one too often.
Mm.
So you touched tantalisingly on some extra stuff and projects and things that are going down. Can you talk to me a bit about that? Talk to us, our listenership, and share what's in the mix.
After moving to the Waitara Clinic, I thought, with this change and being here, and the exciting community that I had this opportunity to work with, I thought I want to do things differently and let's be a bit more innovative. So I realized that I was starting to see a lot of people who needed social connection, and a lot of people who were retired and didn't have much on anymore. Also, a lot of people that needed to move their body more and to feel the effects of that. And I think to myself, I can sit in this white room, and tell you to do it, but I think, why don't we actually do it together? And so I decided to set up what we call Hiko and Korero group. And I just had this vision of having a whole heap of people going for a walk, experiencing the beautiful benefits of just gentle movement, and with other people that were like-minded, and giving them a safe place to do that. So inspired by Te Whare Tapawha, which is basically the four quadrants of health and well-being, the social, emotional, physical, and the spiritual connection. So started it up. So we got going. I managed to convince my first person to come along, and she was really keen. And We also had Kane, our Kaito Totoko, come along with us, who is a health coach.
Awesome.
So he supports my mahi. And so off we went. Down. We decided that going down along the Awa, the river, would be a really a nice sort of view, that spiritual connection to whenua, that sort of thing.
100%.
So off we went down there, down to the beach. And the walkway is such an incredible asset for Waitara.
Especially now with all the improvements down there with all the barbecues and tables and so on. It's incredible, hey?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Safe, right? Aye. Like once we get over to the bridge where the walkway starts, there's no roads to cross.
That bridge, hey? Wow.
Yeah, and so off we go down there every Monday, 10 o'clock. And so I decided Mondays because, hey, let's start the week right for people. Let's do 10 o'clock so mums or dads can drop their kids off at school and come and join us. Yeah, and so slowly and slowly it's growing. And we now have a rōpū of a good 10 each time come along.
Wow.
And the great thing is it's a drop-in, drop-out thing. So if you're busy, don't feel pressured to come. But don't feel like that pressure can allow you to come the next time because it you don't have to feel bad that you missed the last time.
That's absolutely get where you're coming from. It's it stops being good if you're beating yourself up when you can't make it, right?
And so, you know, with my clients in clinic, I say, hey, I'll be there, so you'll know someone there. And so we make sure we welcome people. Everyone will be introduced. I make sure everyone knows each other's names, you know, and then off we go. And no one knows why they've been suggested to come along. But,
great,
you know, to see people who have struggled with connecting with others, chatting with people along this walk,
genius,
and finding like-minded topics to talk about, it's just so awesome as a health provider, so satisfying to see. You know, and then sometimes they go off and have coffee together after, and I think, yes.
So what's the duration of the walk?
Yeah, so we walk for about 50 minutes, basically.
Yep.
I kind of imagined people who could walk about that far would come, but then we had a couple of kaumātua turn up. One lady with a walker, and I thought, oh, heck, what am I going to do here? I don't want to turn anyone away. If you want to come and do a hikoi, then I don't want to stop you. So we actually started pivoting, and I thought, okay, well, let's get the kaumātua doing a nice gentle little loop along in front of the shops and then back behind the shops so they could do a little loop, as many as they felt, with no rush. You know, you're not going to get left behind because it's a loop, and there's seats along the way. So
great.
They do that, and then the rest of us head off a bit further, and it's at their pace, so...
And do you tend to stick to that river route along the Awa
there? We've tried a few different ones, but I find it's quite... people like going along the river, so we tend to sort of stick to that one. And it's funny because, you know, one of the real strengths about Waitara is that it's got a real strong community feel. And people know each other. So you might get one person on the walk who... also will know, and so everyone's yelling out to us because everyone's knowing everybody, and they say, oh, next time I'll come along, or oh, you know, oh, you want your hikoi, auntie, and you know, so it's just such a vibe. And it's been a really cool thing to start up, and it's something that we could emulate and copy and do in other places as well. But
just thinking that,
I think because of the strong community feel in Waitara, that's why it's been so successful.
Love it. So what do I do if I want to come and be a part of this gig?
So you can literally just turn up 10 o'clock in front of the Waitara Health Centre or Tui Ora in Waitara, 10 o'clock, just say hi and come along. Or if you want, you can book an appointment with me before so that you know me and feel comfortable with me, and then off we go.
Love this. That's awesome, Tracy. Great kaupapa, and I really just love the sound of that. What happens if it's tipping it down?
If it's raining?
Mm.
Well... I am a little bit superstitious, so I feel like I need to touch wood. But do you know what, Jamie? In the year that we've been running it, at Monday 10 o'clock, we've never had to cancel so far.
Stop it. Wow. Okay.
And I actually, I don't know, I feel like there's a real meaning behind that, you know?
Amazing.
Up there, maybe. Mm. But if it was pouring down, I would still go out the front, and if people turned up and it was raining, we would still go,
mm-hmm.
because if they need it, then I'm going to facilitate that. We obviously just have to be careful with risk and slips and things like that. But yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so it's showered a couple of times, but never heavy.
Yeah,
I need to touch wood though, Jane.
Yeah, no. It doesn't sound like you need to. I think you've already got you've got that on your side. Yeah. So cup high. And anything else that you wanted to touch on, Tracy?
Yeah, we also do the community garden. So I've joined that under what we call COIA, which is the garden prescription.
Mm.
So don't know if you've heard of that before, but it's something that has been set up as a garden prescription. So Kiyomi, one of the doctors at Care First, designed it around, you know, sometimes a doctor or a nurse might think, this person needs to get in the garden more. This person really needs to do something social, so they can prescribe a garden prescription. So there's one here in Marfell, and there's also the Faitara one. There's a couple more around the Maunga. So you come along, there's no pressure to garden or weed or, you only do as much as you feel like doing.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, so it's another way of being social. It's that Te Whare Tapawha base too. In the Faitara one, we're lucky enough to have a community room right next door to that. So we can have a cup of tea after and basically just experiment with getting your hands dirty and growing some plants. And that's open to anybody as well.
Oh, so, true.
Yep. So you technically need a referral through the green prescription, which a doctor or nurse can do. However, if you just want to turn up, then we would love to have you. Yeah. So
just reiterating time, place on.
Yeah. So it's actually, this is the other cool thing, Jamie, is that it's literally on the same block as the health centre, but behind. So I don't know, you'll be familiar with Waitara. So there's the St. John's Baptist Church, which is next to the pharmacy, which is next to the fight of the health centre.
No, so, just where you are,
yeah. Yeah, so the garden is in between the church and the church hall.
Yeah.
And it's in growing in progress. And we're hosting the Sustainable Taranaki roadshow there as well. So we're going to be a point on the map that people can come visit and come take a look. And
true. When's that happening?
I think that's the start of November. Yeah, alongside the Garden Festival.
Kapai.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So 10 o'clock
wholesomeness.
Thursday.
Wholesomeness. Yeah. That's so lovely.
So I go along as the health presence, basically. So acknowledging that some people might be going along with, that they might be. For any unwellness reason, maybe find that tricky. So I'm just there as a safe presence to sort of guide people if they need it, and offer some well-being advice, and yeah, just a listening ear.
Peachy.
Yeah.
And if you, over the years of doing what you're doing in your many varied roles, but particularly with this with this concept of this in-community health delivery that has a real holistic backing surrounding to it, it's kaupapa, I guess. What would you say stands out for you as a really peachy wellbeing tip if someone's finding things are a bit tough at the moment and finding life to be really hard to get through, feeling down, feeling a bit empty.
I've written something down, and this is something I've been using a lot with my clients.
Awesome.
So I can read it out.
Thank you.
So it's sort of talking about what's the difference between a happy, playful dog and a human. And because we know, when we imagine a dog, they're just so happy. They're just so happy to be here, and they're smelling, and they're running around, and they're just joyful, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between them and a human? So humans can time travel. amazing. We can worry about the future. We can ruminate on the past. But not only that, we can teleport ourselves. So we can go to places that where we're feeling frustrated in the world. We could go to someone's home that we're frustrated with, you know, and wish that things could be different.
And even wider than that, through the internet and the TV, obviously.
Yes.
We teleport through those all the time, right?
So that's what I was also thinking, you know, like the unrest overseas. Mm-hmm. We can wish that things would be done differently. We can ruminate on all the ways it could be different. And even with the local election too, this is where I found myself doing it.
100%.
Worrying about how it's going to go and hoping that it's going to be done in the best way possible for our community. But the great news is something else humans can do is that we actually have a choice where we are.
Yeah.
And so the best way to do that is to take a really deep breath and then come back to now, come back to where you are right now. And I think that can be a really good tip for so many of, you know, our distress that we can feel in our life, is that we're actually doing that time travel thing. And you would know when you feel like that, because it's almost like you become disconnected from your body because you're so focused on this worry that you forget where you are. So doing something like coming back to your body could be through some deep breaths. It could be through smelling something. It could be going outside and feeling the wind on your face or the grass on your feet. It could be looking at your kids or giving them a hug. Just something really small, drink of water. Just to bring you back to here and now. So that's the first step. And then the next one is to engage, to do something that's within your control, to take you towards the person you want to be or something that's meaningful to you, and it can be a really good way to combat that.
True.
Yeah. So big one is to notice when you're time traveling or teleporting, you know, notice when you're doing that, because it's not a bad thing. It's something that is just a really cool skill that humans have. Sometimes it gets a little bit like overly helpful. And so when we notice we're doing it, that is when we can do something about it. There's nothing wrong with doing it. We'd be kind and curious about it. Oh, look at me doing that. Oh, I remember when Tracy was talking about that. Oh, okay, now what?
Yeah.
And I can do something. And that is really empowering for somebody who is feeling, you know, out of alignment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Gosh. Thank you. I really love that concept of reflecting on that human ability to teleport, to take ourselves out of our situation, both internally and physically. And I'm a big dog lover. We have two dogs, three until quite recently. And one of ours is this most insanely crazy puppy. He's just a year old, and he hasn't grown past his crazy puppy phase yet. He's called Gimli, after one of the dwarves in Lord of the Rings. I'm not quite sure whether it's the right fit or not. Gimli's quite quite hardcore, and this puppy is. Anyway, just yesterday he had his first experience of his tennis ball, because I'd been picking up on the vibe that he quite enjoys a ball to play with, and I'd found him this tennis ball, which when we got to the beach I showed him, which was immediately followed by the most beautiful expression of joy I've seen in a long time, where he just irresistibly bounced three times sideways with excitement for this object. And it was a real leveling moment for me. I thought, oh, so much on my mind, so many little tasks I'm busy doing, and so caught up in so many situations that are running parallel in my head. And here I am with this tennis ball, and for this beautiful, beautiful fellow traveller, he's just gone, could not be happier right now. And I thought, yep, I'll be alongside you, could not be happier right now, let's do this.
And I think what you've touched on, that he was joyful, right, is because all the best emotions happen in the moment, you know, like the joy, wonder, awe, like love, passion, you know, it's all in the moment. When we're smelling something really delicious or tasting a really nice meal or giving someone a hug, like those things are in the moment. We're not designed to be in this worry, ruminating, busy mindset all the time. Our society sort of set us up to be like that with all of the technology and things that we have available to us. But we do have a choice, and the more we train ourselves to go between, the more control we'll feel over those big emotions. And they're there for a reason, big emotions, but also we can use them as like a prompt to bring us back and give ourselves a break sometimes too.
Tracy, that is our time. Ngā mihi ki a koe. What an incredible privilege to have this time, this place with you here on Access Radio for some abundant awesomeness. Tracy, thank you for who you are, the work that you do, the exceptional human that you are. Very, very proud to have had this korero with you this afternoon. Keep doing what you're doing, and remember, if you're not familiar with the hip roll and what Tracy's been talking about today, sounds helpful to you, give your surgery a call. They'll understand if there's not a hip there, they'll be able to advise. Or just go ahead and Google health improvement practitioner and read a bit more. And thank you for you.
Oh, ngā mihi nui, Jamie.
Thanks
for having me.
Well, absolutely a privilege. Take care, and thank you. Thank you for the abundant awesomeness that this afternoon has been. You total star. Ka kite ana whānau. It's been great.
Ka kite.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website accessradiotaranaki.com.